Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. There was no possibility of taking a walk that day. We had been wandering indeed in the leafless shrubbery an hour in the morning, but since dinner, Mrs. Reed, when there was no company, dined early. The cold winter wind had brought with it clouds so sombre and a rain so penetrating that further outdoor exercise was now out of the question. I was glad of it. I never liked long walks, especially on chilly afternoons. Dreadful to me was the coming home in the raw twilight, with nipped fingers and toes, and a heart saddened by the chidings of Bessie, the nurse, and humbled by the consciousness of my physical inferiority to Eliza, John, and Georgiana Reed. The said Eliza, John, and Georgiana were now clustered round their mamma in the drawing-room. She lay reclined on a sofa by the fireside, and with her darlings about her, for the time neither quarrelling nor crying, looked perfectly happy. Me, she had dispensed from joining the group, saying she regretted to be under the necessity of keeping me at a distance, but that until she heard from Bessie, and could discover by her own observation that I was endeavouring in good earnest to acquire a more sociable and childlike disposition, a more attractive and sprightly manner, something lighter, franker, more natural, as it were, she really must exclude me from privileges intended only for contented, happy little children. "What does Bessie say I've done?" I asked. "Jane, I don't like cavillers or questioners. Besides, there is something truly forbidding in a child taking up her elders in that manner. Be seated somewhere, and until you can speak pleasantly, remain silent." A small breakfast room adjoined the drawing room. I slipped in there. It contained a bookcase. I soon possessed myself of a volume, taking care that it should be one stored with pictures. I mounted into the window seat. Gathering up my feet, I sat cross-legged like a Turk. I was then happy. Happy at least in my way. I feared nothing but interruption, and that came too soon. The breakfast room door opened.
"Madam Mope,"
cried the voice of John Reed. Then he paused. He found the room apparently empty.
"Where the dickens is she?"
he continued.
"Lizzie! Georgie!" calling to his sisters. "Joan is not here. Tell Mamma she's run out into the rain. Bad animal!"
"It is well I drew the curtain," thought I, and I wished fervently he might not discover my hiding-place. Nor would John Reed have found it out himself. He was not quick either of vision or conception. But Eliza just put her head in at the door and said at once,
"She's in the window seat, to be sure, Jack."
And I came out immediately, for I trembled at the idea of being dragged forth by the said Jack.
"What do you want?"
I asked, with awkward diffidence.
"Say, what do you want, Master Reed?"
was the answer.
"I want you to come here."
And seating himself in an armchair, he intimated by a gesture that I was to approach and stand before him. Habitually obedient to John, I came up to his chair. He spent some 3 minutes in thrusting out his tongue at me as far as he could without damaging the roots. I knew he would soon strike, and while dreading the blow, I mused on the disgusting and ugly appearance of him who would presently deal it. I wonder if he read that notion in my face. For all at once, without speaking, he struck suddenly and strongly. I tottered, and on regaining my equilibrium, retired back a step or two from his chair.
"That is for your impudence in answering Mamma a while since," said he, "and for your sneaking way of getting behind curtains. And for the look you had in your eyes 2 minutes since, you rat."
Accustomed to John Reed's abuse, I never had an idea of replying to it. My care was how to endure the blow
which would certainly follow the insult. "What were you doing behind the curtain?" he asked.
"I was reading."
"Show the book."
I returned to the window and fetched it thence.
"You have no business to take our books. You are a dependent, Mama says. You have no money. Your father left you none. You ought to beg, and not live here with gentlemen's children like us, and eat the same meals we do, and wear clothes at our Mama's expense. Now, I'll teach you to rummage my bookshelves, for they are mine. All the house belongs to me, or will do in a few years. Go and stand by the door, out of the way of the mirror in the windows."
I did so, not at first aware what was his intention. But when I saw him lift and poise the book and stand in act to hurl it, I instinctively started aside with a cry of alarm. Not soon enough, however. The volume was flung. It hit me, and I fell, striking my head against the door and cutting it. The cut bled. The pain was sharp. My terror had passed its climax. Other feelings succeeded.
"Wicked and cruel boy," I said. You are like a murderer. You're like a slave driver. You are like the Roman emperors."
"What? What?" he cried.
"Did she say that to me? Did you hear her? Eliza? Georgiana? Won't I tell Mama? But first..."
He rang headlong at me. I felt him grasp my hair and my shoulder. He closed with the desperate thing. I really saw in him a tyrant, a murderer. I felt a drop or two of blood from my head trickle down my neck, and was sensible of somewhat pungent suffering. These sensations, for the time, predominated over fear, and I received him in frantic sort. I don't very well know what I did with my hands, but he called me, "Rat! Rat!" and bellowed out aloud. Aid was near him. Eliza and Georgiana had run for Mrs. Reed, who was gone upstairs. She now came upon the scene, followed by Bessie and her maid, Abbott. We were parted. I heard the words, "Dear, dear, what a fury to fly at Master John! Did ever anybody see such a picture of passion?" Then Mrs. Reed subjoined, "Take her away to the Red Room and lock her in there." 4 hands were immediately laid upon me, and I was borne upstairs.